Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Podcastianos presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game at Comerica, hit up Moots Pizzeria on Library Street for a slice, a whole pie, or a drink. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who's always chasing history in his own regard. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Good. It feels good to do something the Beach Boys can never do, and that is, you know, have the original members together. You and I. The band that started it all.
That's exactly right. I saw a Beach Boys documentary. Apparently they were good friends with Charles Manson. That's not ideal.
Is that true?
If this documentary is to be believed.
Right in its name. Documentary. I'm sure it's all true. It's fine.
So anyway, Google that. Not sure if you noticed this, Eric, but Miggy finally did it. He finally got to the 500 home runs. Where were you when you saw it?
I actually wasn't in front of my TV like pretty much every Cabrera at bat, but I went outside the out of doors and experienced nature, which obviously is a huge mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
Am I correct in saying that you've been camping in the last couple of weeks, or did I just make that up?
You just made that up, but I was exploring some local lake. And that was nice, but that was, you know, spending time with my family and enjoying and communing with nature, obviously a ridiculously ignorant thing to do.
Yeah. Especially with history beckoning.
Yeah.
We've seen the calls all over the place, both Dan and Shep. What were your thoughts on how those two particular individuals handled essentially history happening in front of them?
I'm trying to think if I heard Shep's call. I know I heard Dan's call, and I bet you can guess how I responded. I thought it was perfection because I supplicate at the shrine of Dan. I'm a full believer. I'm a proselytizer for the Dan. He did it just right. He called how the ball flew. And then when it was out, he said 500. Because that's all you needed to say. Yeah, what did you think?
I think you know that I completely agree on Dan. Dan is just, he's audio gold all the time. Sheps, I thought was actually pretty good. I feel bad saying it so surprised, mm-hmm. but I was expecting something a lot more contrived and premeditated.
Right.
And it came off fairly naturally. So if you were a broadcaster, at least I thought, if you were a broadcaster kind of in that situation, do you think that you're preparing something like that, or are you going to just try and call what comes to you in the moment?
So I think I'd probably try for a hybrid of the two. Like I might think ahead about a couple of things that might be appropriate to say, have a little context, read like, oh, here are some things that may make sense to say, but then let the moment speak. Because all home runs are different. There could be wall scrapers, towering bombs. I think the first responsibility for the broadcaster is to call the play on the field and paint a picture for the people of what's going on, especially on the radio. Television, you have a little bit more license, but first thing is you got to describe reality that you're seeing, and then, you know, you have some emotions about it. So that's the approach I would take.
Yeah, I completely agree. The thing that I was actually most impressed with Shep about is he actually let the moment breathe, which is not something that I think that he's particularly adept at. Like, the, you know, it happened. I don't feel like he's usually particularly adept at letting the moment speak for himself, considering he's calling things that there are moving pictures for. But I thought in the moment this time, he actually, I thought it was pretty good. Better than I was expecting.
He can get a little shouty sometimes. Do you ever experience him as a little shouty?
Yeah, definitely. Which is surprising, because I don't feel like he is a naturally all that excitable guy, which I'm sure is just overcompensating for it. But, you know.
So it feels contrived when he does it.
Yeah. Were you bummed that it happened on the road at all?
Yeah. I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but I mean, I was jazzed. The first opportunity he had back at Comerica, I went to the game. Last minute, I'm like, I'm going to go do it. I sat in the outfield. I wanted to be part of it. And a lot of other people did too. And it was a really fascinating experience. And I'm so, yes, to answer your question straight away, yes, I'm a little bummed that he didn't do it at home. But I wonder if you surveyed the environment, I wonder if that had something to do with it. Hmm. The environment at home was peculiar. And Hinch talked about it. Maybe you picked up on that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm far away from the ballpark, but just looking at it on TV, there's been more buzz in the ballpark than there's been in the last, I don't know, 5 years. Like, it's gotta be a strange sensation for at least a guy like Miggy, who's kind of seen all of it.
Yeah. And maybe athletes probably don't respond to pressure the same way we think, but AJ Hinch talked about how, and I picked up on this right away. I mean, there was this energy building as his name is announced. He comes to the plate. People are cheering and clapping. And then the pitcher is about to pitch. And there's a silence that falls over the crowd. And it's like somebody getting ready to hit a golf shot. You know, it just became really quiet. And it was super creepy. I almost wanted to keep a little bit of din going. And Hinch talked about that. He's like, just keep cheering right through the at bat and through the pitch. And fans picked up on that. They did after a couple days, but everybody was on the edge of their seats, kind of hoping and wishing. You wonder what that would do to a hitter. They're used to either, you know, kind of a consistent hum of the crowd. And it was something completely different. And I bet Cabrera wanted to hit it as soon as possible. But you wonder, with the people and the signs, if the expectations made it more difficult.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. I thought it was really funny in all the video that shows it going over the wall. And on the I think it was the bullpen, it had Alex Ling now warming up in the bullpen. Like, that is forever going to be like written into the history, which hopefully Alex has a very long career, but it could be this kind of rando Tigers reliever that will always be with Mickey's 500 moment. I thought that was very funny.
Well, and among the first people to welcome him back to the bullpen were Zach Short and Justin Garneau and
Derek Hill. Yeah,
Derek Hill and our UK Tigers fan Jed, I forget his first name, but he said, you know, what a shame that we have these guys welcoming back. And I was like, you know, hey, Miggy and the Mudhens, it's on brand. He had to grind out a lot of at bats with teammates that maybe were better in Toledo. So I thought it was a little poetic. I thought it was fine. It's good that he did. Now is the time to do it. So it is what it is.
All right. So I pulled up the breakdown of all of his home runs, 362 in Detroit, 138 in Florida. Let's see. Ooh, this is a good one. 252 away, 248 at home, which is like the consistency there is very funny, but also he's hit a lot of home runs in Comerica Park. A tough place to do it. Any guesses as to his most homered against pitcher?
It's got to be somebody in the American League Central. It's got to be somebody kind of maybe who's been around on these teams a while. I don't know.
Phil Hughes is one. Then Corey Kluber, which is shocking. Blast from the past.
Phil Hughes was with the Yankees and then the Twins.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure he has loads of at bats. Corey Kluber, Bruce Chen is his third most.
I was thinking about Bruce Chen. Yeah,
that's a name.
We think of him as a tiger killer, but maybe just he kills the bad tigers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that was about the only type of hitter he killed. Comerica and Dolphin Stadium, of course, in Florida, were the two parks he homered in the most. Care to guess which came third?
I'm gonna guess Kansas City. Big, but he loves hitting there.
Kansas City is fifth. I mean, all basically the other four in the division are
Chicago.
Chicago
is kind of the smallest. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
I thought it was very, very interesting. I don't know. It's nice to, I don't know. He is somebody that has been so good for so long. It's nice to, on occasion, kind of step back and take a look at the whole breadth of his work. So he's obviously,
speaking of interesting stats, Dave Hoge, I think that's how you say it, posted a stat like his 28th home run of his career was very special because of this characteristic of that home run. Can you guess what it is?
Ooh.
His 28th home run is singularly unique in what way? You're going to kick yourself when I tell you.
Does he only have one grand slam?
Didn't
seem right. Yeah.
It is the only home run that he has hit against which team?
Oh, the Tigers. Nice.
That's right.
Who is it off of? Do you know?
That would be fun to find out. I do not know.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'm sorry. Continue. I thought that was interesting.
That's very interesting. So he needs 22 more to move inside the top 20.
Okay.
Manny Ramirez sits in 15th at 555. Do you see him hitting either mark? I mean, clearly there's people between top 20 and Manny at 15.
So he's hit 13 this year, 10 last year, 12 the year before, 16 and 7. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going to hit you between 15 and 16 home runs a year. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a sudden acceleration in his home run hitting, do you?
No. I could definitely see him getting the 22 he needs. But 55 seems maybe a bridge too far for him. So 45 hits away from 3,000. I feel like, you know, chasing both milestones kind of speaks to the complete, well-rounded hitter he was. I feel like I've heard this narrative a lot over the last, 24 hours since he did it, that he's so vastly underrated and that he deserves much more love than he gets. Do you think that that's true?
It is fascinating, like when Jason Stark runs his trivia questions or whatever, who leads in some category, and people always say Pujols or, and the sleeper in those questions is typically Miguel Cabrera. He leads in a lot of categories. He's gotten a lot of love too. People know Miguel Cabrera. So I don't know, maybe a little.
Maybe a little
underrated. I mean, but not much.
He is, he's played in Miami and then in Detroit. Like, he has exclusively played in smaller markets. Like, he never had that time in LA or New York. I think that factors into it. But I was actually looking into career WAR. There are seven names on our outfield walls in Comerica that have a higher career WAR than Cabrera. Some of them are not close. Cobb, Kaline, and Gehringer are way ahead of him. Whitaker and Trammell, and then a couple olds. Not that Cobb was an old.
Whitaker and Trammell have more career WAR than Cabrera.
Yep. And then
So how much of that is defensively?
Oh, I would imagine most of it, but I mean, that's...
So he's a better slugger, a better hitter, even statistically, than those names, besides Cobb, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just in how you define ball player, but
I get it.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I was expecting him to be more or less near the top of all-time Tigers. So that leads us to the last little bit that I want to talk about for this. If you had caught the ball, what would you do with it?
I thought about this a lot, and I even posted it on Twitter. I am not a big give it back to the guy for a hug and a photo. to me, that's trash. On the open market, the ball could be worth about 50 grand. I've seen estimates. So I came up with a solution. I'm not trying to soak anybody for money, but I'd give the ball back for what I would want. I would want 3 or 4 games of my choosing each year and have a suite. I don't know where they hold for 20 people or something like that. And I would want this in perpetuity,
of course,
like forever. You know, time value of money. You know, the Tigers can defer this for a long time. They only got to do it 3 games a year, and I would be a hero amongst men among my friends every year. Like I have parties, and oh, Eric's doing it. You come out, everybody's all, and that would serve me forever. It tie me to the club. I thought that would, and I bet, I don't know what the suites go for. I bet that, you know, do your calculations, probably around the 50,000 mark. Wouldn't you think?
It seems about right.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Definitely.
But that's what I would want, some kind of reimbursement. Otherwise I'll sell it on the open market, take my 50 grand and be happy with it. I'm not giving it back for a bat.
No, definitely.
What are you
not
doing?
It's actually kind of funny. I thought that I would want an experience of some sort.
I maybe
leaned a little bit smaller than you did. Maybe I should have expanded my mind, but like, I want to watch a game in a suite with like Leland or someone like that. Like,
oh, sure.
Really, yeah. Make it fun. But yeah, I would for sure take your package. That does sound, sounds much more interesting. So you don't subscribe to the, it's his ball, he should get it back.
No. What the ball goes into the stands since the dawn of time of baseball, you have balls in the stand, you keep it. It's your ball. And all the law and all this stuff is you get to keep it.
I completely agree. I just thought it was interesting. I saw a little bit of fisticuffs on Twitter about
little,
that
little
thought.
Banter.
I was a little surprised. I mean, I shouldn't be, because everything is a hotly contested debate, but
right.
I kind of thought that we'd maybe be a little bit more unanimity there.
I get the emotions of, you know, wanting to let that be part of the moment for them, but this is a billion-dollar franchise and a guy making $30 million a year. They're not hurting. Like, they can play ball.
And I also think, like, maybe this is just me, but I don't know that I'd be too fussed about having that specific baseball if I were the one that hit it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, what am I going to do? Put it on a mantle and show the one person a year who cares it? No, I'd cash in. Like, do something more interesting.
Yeah.
I don't need the ball.
Oh, no, I meant if I were Miggy and I was the one that hit it, I wouldn't care. Like,
he's
got MVP awards. Like, I think people
But if you had the 100th, the 200th, the 300th, 400th.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want the 500th.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show or get more from the two of us, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @hostedbyjhall, at @ericwaynesbrain, and at @podcastianos. And the show is on Facebook at @podcastianos. And of course, the show is brought to you by Moots Pizzeria in downtown Detroit. Looking to grab a bite before or after the game? Moots Pizzeria and Bar, located on Library Street in the heart of Detroit, is one of the Motor City's hottest restaurants and the only authentic New York pizzeria in the city. I loved the truffled bumblebee appetizers and all of the various pizzas that I've tried. And if you're feeling generous, try splitting one of their specialty pizza with friends, or you can just order it for yourself. Check out mootspizzeria.com to view their entire menu. And remember, they validate your parking for 2 hours when you park in the Z lot. Be sure to tell them that Jordan and Eric sent you.
Are you and I going to split something and eat it like the dogs from Lady and the Tramp, Paul?
It'd be an experience. I'm sure somebody would be taking a picture of that. Just two grown fellas splitting some spaghetti.
Maybe I'll just get my own. I'll just get my own. Thanks.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So apart from the Miggy thing, I feel like that's kind of been all-consuming for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's been more of the same when it comes to our young Tigers, just ups and downs. You got some ups with, like, Scooble and Mize, and Funkhauser, even Tyler Alexander have all been pretty good over the last month.
Yeah, they have.
While some of the other youngsters, like, I don't know, Matt Manning and Willie Castro, have been a little bit less successful, has there anyone that stood out to you whose development is like, yeah, that's good, I want to give them a shout out?
On the pitching side exclusively?
No, either side.
Well, I think Tyler Alexander, you know, I cannot see Tyler Alexander without thinking of his, what was it, 10 consecutive strikeouts?
I think so.
And I think the dude's got weapons, and he had this little streak of like 4 or 5 inning starts. And then lately it seems like he's pushing it a little further. I am getting more and more impressed with Tyler Alexander.
Yeah, I think when he first came up, I kind of assumed he was not to dog on our boy, but like Blaine and nothing more. I feel like he might have already pushed on a little bit from that that level.
Yep.
Which
the other guy, I think, now it's been a while, but the other guy who really took a step forward to me is Jake Rogers. Mm. You know, it's been since the beginning of the season, but you know, an 802 OPS. With super solid defense.
When's the last time one of our catchers has posted that? It has to have been forever ago.
And we kind of wrote him off, but I mean, and he took a challenge upon himself. He knew he was getting a little older. He's 26 now, which, you know, is not so long in the tooth. He's not that old. It just took him a little while to put the pieces together, maybe.
I feel like I have a little bit more sympathy when it comes to catcher development. Like, yeah. Now, I'm not saying that it is easy by any stretch to play any of the other positions, but you are learning so much on two sides of the ball when you are a catcher. Like, it's just a different game than a right fielder or a third baseman.
Yeah. Is it like a center in basketball? You know, big men develop late, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe something like that.
Sounds good. I don't know if that's true or not, sure. But
we'll pretend that's true.
Definitely. The guy that I want to mention, and I actually just mentioned him in my bad examples, is Matt Manning. I feel like people, the natives are starting to get a little restless with Matt Manning.
Right.
See, here's the thing. I pulled up the numbers of what he is doing right now compared to what Casey Mize did last year. The numbers are startlingly similar. Like, not exactly groundbreaking analysis here, but low strikeout rate, more walks than you would have thought. Like, he's not going deep into a game. It's very hittable. This is Manning's age 23 season and his, by and large, first taste of action. Casey's was 23 last year, and that was his first. Right. Like, there are a lot of parallels here, and I mean, Casey's come through it.
I'll buy it.
I don't know. I'm not getting carried away with Matt Manning at all.
I mean, it's his first taste of it. I mean, you could tell his just first few innings are just trying to feel his way through, and that's going to take some time.
Yeah.
The other guy I would say, and it pains me to say this because I've been poo-pooing. And how about Derek Hill?
How about him?
Now, he got wrecked a little bit, but the dude is batting 259 with an OPS of 661. If a guy like him can bat 260 and get on base a little bit, that's a major leaguer. Yeah. At center field.
You know who he reminds me of? Aaron Rowand.
Okay.
Great defensively, a little bit more pop than you'd think, kind of a low-key on-base guy. Like,
wow, I don't think Derek Hill has a lot of pop. But he doesn't need to have a lot of pop. He needs to get on base.
I said a little bit of pop.
A little.
Yeah. He has sneaky pop though. For looking at him, he's got more pop than you'd think. Anyway, carry on.
Well, I've been poo-pooing him because I feel like he's a one or two tool guy, but maybe I need to come around, you know.
Maybe he's what's holding him back. Everything like that.
So maybe he's a four tool guy and I could just get over the power a little bit. I mean, he's faster, he's fast AF, as the kids say, right? He catches the ball. His throw the other day, he's got a gun. And he's developed a little bit more at the plate. So maybe I need to finally give Derek Hill some attaboy.
I'd like to go on record and say that I don't believe his approach is going to lead to any type of long-term success.
Yeah,
but I hope that you are right. Not only because it would give us a great center fielder, but it would also constantly rub in your face, which would be just
how
a delight.
Wrong I was.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of like Jake Rogers, you think, oh, he's kind of getting old, but he's 25. You know,
just seems like he's been around forever.
It just seems like, right. because he was so much hype when we drafted
seven seasons
him.
At West Michigan.
Well, he was like the first high draft pick when we started getting bad. Mm-hmm. So like we put a lot of hope on him, I think, a disproportionate level of hope.
Yeah. He was so the draft pick version of Daniel Norris.
Yes, for sure. I think that's fair. But in center field, or excuse me, at Comerica Park, you need a center fielder who can catch the ball. And he will go, he will give you his all to catch the ball. And it's, you know, it's kind of this catch 22, like you want him to preserve his body a little bit, but that takes away his biggest weapon. So this isn't going to be the last time he gets hurt.
Definitely not. And by all means, like I'm never in favor of anyone getting hurt, but if somebody's going to get hurt, I'm okay with it being Derek Hill. So just go balls to the wall. Like that's fine.
You know. And it's entertaining. Like go catch the ball. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But don't take out a keel when you do it.
Yes, for sure. So 60 and 66 this year. I am floored. I am without speech. Yeah. I thought we were going to be struggling to have a nice season. We are going to blow right by the nice mark. So,
but listen, and this is without Boyd, without Turnbull for large portions of the year. Our top three OPS guys are all hurt right now. Haas, Rogers, Baddoo are all hurt.
They're also, let's take a moment and think about those three being our top OPS guys.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming in any of
Did
them.
Did not see that. Well, and that speaks to their contribution to make us 60 and 66. But this isn't like a dream season where everything aligned. Like we've had bumps and stuff when we still ground out 60 wins so far. I think it's a testament to the work that Hinch is doing, a test to the depth that we've had, and they're getting it done.
Also testament to the work Chris Fetter is doing. I thought you were going to go there. So I was going to retweet that, but you know, you didn't end up getting there. So I don't really even want to get into the Jack Morris stuff. But I do think it's important and we should at least touch on it. I just don't understand how stuff like this kind of keeps happening. Surely it was like this offhand thing, but he's somebody that's in front of a microphone for a living. Like, I don't know how you don't cut stuff out of that. At least out of your vocabulary, if not just kind of your thoughts in general.
I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt or find some excuse or something he was doing or referencing. And there was the Elmer Fudd theory and there's different things. And I circled back around to it. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think he kind of went there did, you know, and maybe not consciously in direct reference to Shohei Ohtani. But I'm trying my best to make excuse and give him the benefit of the doubt. But it was not good. Can't have that.
And then
have that.
Then he goes back and more or less doubles down in his ninth inning apology. Like, sorry if you were offended. Like,
yeah,
that has never worked for anybody.
Not gonna work.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
I also like how zero people were sad. Like, oh, I'm going to miss Jack Morris so much. Nobody was saying that.
No.
I mean, they're prepared to embrace Craig Monroe for crying out loud. And Craig has gotten a little bit better. I still think he's works too hard at it, but
I forgot.
People were fine. Okay.
I forgot to tell you this. So it was after our last moots with Alex, who did a fantastic job, by the way. But we went to the game that night, and they had brought back a bunch of the old guys. Your boy Phil was there, and Simo was kind of the on-field MC. And he was an absolute train wreck, despite being the professional broadcaster.
That is, the hosting thing is not, if you can keep him on task, talk about a swing, talk about the baseball, he'll do a serviceable thing for you. But he's not... He's not Ryan Field. He's not your boy Johnny Cain out there. you gotta build in a little improvisational banter and smoothness.
Maybe next year. The other big to-do in the organization, and we can run through this quickly because I feel like we have been long in the tooth this evening. The promotion of Riley Green, Torkelson, and Ryan Kriedler to Toledo. being very aggressive with Torkelson, which I am a big fan of. The other two are definitely moving fast. It's hard to believe at this point that we won't see all of them at some point next year. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah, next year.
It's going to happen, possibly before the break. Torkelson, it's not got off to the best start at Toledo, but he also hasn't exactly got off to a great start at any of the levels. Like, he wasn't great to start with in spring training. To be fair, he stayed not good for all of spring training, but he has a slow start at West Michigan, slow start at Erie. I suspect that he's probably going to have a bit of a slow start at the big league level and that some people will likely freak out. Maybe we, you know, keep ourselves together and just wait for what the number two prospect in all of baseball to get some footing next year.
There's nothing left for him at Erie. Double A has been too easy. Time to try something new.
Yeah, they had those the Erie Twitter account had the, you know, buy your Torkelson jerseys, and I thought about it for a couple of weeks, and by the time I was like, all right, I'm going to do it, it was like, well, I might as well just wait for a month at this point, because it's only
I was gonna go see those guys at the Whitecaps too, and by the time I got my wits about me and I'm like, oh, I should go, they were gone.
Yeah, it's like that. What is it? State Farm commercial with the old guy with the dollar on the fishing hook.
Almost got it.
Got to be quicker than that.
So close.
Riley Green. I mean, we're gonna see him in a big league uniform at 21 years old.
Oh, my crush for Riley Green will not end.
I actually didn't prepare any notes here. I just assumed that you would take it over.
You know, this is might get a little personal. Okay. Okay. I am a heterosexual man, right? I only have eyes for the ladies, but Riley Green, it's not fair that a man can be that handsome and that good at baseball. It's not fair. It's not fair. He's an objectively attractive person. I'm willing to say that for sure.
I don't disagree.
Say I'm wrong. No, you're, say
you're,
I'm wrong.
You're definitely right. You're definitely right.
No person should be allowed to be that attractive.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that we're the only podcast out there talking about how attractive Riley Green is.
They should be. Have you seen the man? Wow. He's like a cologne advertisement.
That's actually a great call. That's exactly what he looks like.
He's emerging with a little layer of water as he comes out of the water, and there's a film of water. Eau de cool, you know, champ is something in French. That's Riley Green.
All right, I feel like we've gone too far now. And by we, I think you all know who I'm referring to. The other one, Ryan Creedler, fourth round pick out of UCLA in 2019. He's never really been too awfully high on the prospect list, but he seems to be kind of hitching himself to this Green and Torkelson bandwagon.
Yep.
And he's absolutely crushing so far at Toledo. He's hitting 550 through his first six games and 20 at bats. That's decent. I don't suspect he'll probably keep that up, though.
But all this is building to this crescendo that is either next year or the year after, right? I mean, we have some capacity for free agents. The guys that we have in the club are starting to go good. We've won 60 games for crying out loud. You know, Turnbull threw a no-hitter and is getting better. Manning, Mize, and Scooble, they're right there. Your boy, Justin Verlander, is coming back. We can sign a shortstop, and we got three horses at Toledo who are willing to come up. Like, this has the makings of something good. I mean, it's a little bit of the White Soxian, you know, it's starting to kind of build.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I kind of don't know how to handle the optimism that I feel. It's a very weird feeling.
Just let it glow inside your heart. It's okay. Embrace it.
All right, let's move on to power rankings.
Power rankings. Like you said, we have yapped a lot. So we're going to do quick power rankings. But I think this is going to be fire. It's going to be a good one. I even told you.
You
this.
Did. You and we always text a little bit about the show before we do it, as all professional podcasts do.
And I'm building this up. So I'm not only am I confident, I'm confident this is going to deliver.
I'm expecting all fire right. here.
So Mrs. Wayne went to go get the groceries, and she came home with a lot of bread. products.
Here
we go. We needed buns. We got the sub buns because we're going to do like some meatball sub kind of things. We got the standard white bread, and we got bagels. So a lot of bread is in our cupboard. And, you know, I'm taking this out and making my toast or whatever. And now I have to put it back. I have to put the bread back. So I have for you the top seven and bottom three ways to store your bread. Right? This is an important life question. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Number seven, you take your slice of bread. You're ready to pull it back. You just tie a knot in the bag. Yeah. So you loop it over. Boom. A lot of good there. It seals it tight. You don't need anything else. You just tie a knot. The problem is when you want additional bread, you got one more crack at it. You're not untying that knot. You just got to rip it open. So if you got two buns left, you just tie that knot, let it rip. Because you're going to use them both next time. It's fine.
So you're saying it's a great situational play.
It's a situation. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Number six is you just tuck.
You just tuck. That's a wild man's move.
Only tuck. So you take the spray of remaining plastic that comes out the end, and you just tuck it under and you put it back. That's it.
I feel like you're really giving up some freshness there.
But the ease. Think of the ease. You don't have to just a tuck. It's all fine. Right. Number five is replacing the plastic bag in which the bread came with your own Ziploc bag.
That's a good idea.
So you have a couple slices or whatever. You take it out of the thin bag, you put it in a Ziploc bag, zip it up, airtight. It's easy because it's, you know, and easy and seals nice, but you're wasting an extra bag. It comes with the plastic bag.
It does. And Ziplocs are not cheap. I feel like that's a very bougie move, which, you know,
do you wash your Ziploc bags?
No, I'm not a monster.
I can't either, but there's people I know and love who wash their Ziploc bags. I'm sure that's earth friendly and stuff. I just can't.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Okay. Number five is you use your own clip that you've gotten from someplace else. There's IKEA sells these clips. They like hinge on one side and then there's a little tooth that clips in, and they're super easy to use. They come in different sizes. You know, some people maybe use the chip clip or whatever, but you maybe give it a twist and then you use your self supplied clip.
Yeah, I like that. I use the binder clips. I feel like I use those for both chips and bread when the available twist tie is no longer an option. Yeah.
Got it. Strong move. Number three is you twist and you use the little clip that's provided, the little horseshoe. You know what I'm talking about?
Definitely.
The little C. It's like a plastic tab. Okay. They're fine, but you always lose the sucker. It's under the jar of peanut butter or it fell off the table. You can't find the thing back, but that's the purpose for which it was created, right? You just lean back in to the little clip. It's not always so elegant though. Doesn't always stay. Is the twist fat enough or not? You know, you got to have a fat twist for the little clip.
So here's an aside, along with, what do we call those? The horseshoe? Is that what we're calling it?
Sure.
Yeah. So I can't remember. Did you tweet this? I saw a tweet that showed me that there are, the horseshoes are different colors based on what day of the week the bread was baked, so that you know, like, level of freshness, except for that nobody knows that that is a thing.
The color. Well, and nobody, okay, orange. Oh, I got the orange bread.
Oh, hot dog. That's
what
Wednesday.
What am I going to, yeah. Yeah, what am I going to memorize the day chart? Come on.
Like, it's not a bad idea. I just had no idea, and I'm pretty sure that nobody else in the world does either.
Yeah. Number two is you twist the bag and you use the twisty tie. I feel like this is a little bit more effective, but it requires a little bit more of you. You have to invest yourself in the untwisting and the twisting, but I feel like this is a pretty secure method.
Yeah, I feel like that's the way God intended, if we're being honest.
Sure. I mean, the investment to quality ratio is a little high, but it's not bad. It's number two.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, you got a guess?
Honestly, I can't think of another way, so no.
The best way is to simply twist the bag and then tuck the remainder under, and you set it on the shelf.
See, that seems lazy. No offense.
Yeah, it's lazy because it's smart and you don't have to do anything. You're always losing the clip. You're losing the twist tie. Just twist and tuck. I mean, how much freshness are you really gaining by employing the device on the twist?
I think that's the deeper philosophical question.
You're not gaining much freshness.
I hadn't really thought about that, and that is a very valid point.
Of course it's valid. It's number one. Just twist and tuck. Don't worry about the clip. Just pitch that stuff. Twist and tuck and move on with your life. All right. The worst ones. Number three is an absolute savage move, and that is just leave it open. Just put it back. Whatever. What kind of savage primate college guy is just leaving it open?
You have described the only person in the world that does that. That is a college guy move through and through. The only one.
Yeah, just leave it out. It's you gain no freshness is being preserved. It becomes stale the moment you just throw it to the side. Second from the worst is using some kind of mesh bag or bougie beeswax wrap or some other device or thing that you're getting on Amazon. What kind of hippie nonsense is that?
Terrible hippie
Just
nonsense.
Plastic is fine. Yeah. And the worst way to store your bread. Do you have a guess?
I don't.
And that is employing a bread box. Who are you, bread box users? Are you some pioneer homesteader who've crafted their bread box? I mean, Mennonites are some of the best people in the world, but they're probably the only ones using a bread box. What is this, the 50s? Who's doing this? Stop using a bread box. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
That was heat that I was not prepared for. To be fair, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I think that lived up to your text. I think that was right on the money.
Gotta hype it up. Gotta believe in yourself.
That's true. So I don't have a story of things that I saw on the side of the road, but I do have an Adventures in Indiana story. So last Sunday, I was out mowing my yard, and I was stung by a bee. I stumbled upon either a bee hive or a hornet's nest, whatever. I'm not sure what they are. So I got it was on like the tip of my ankle. And it was
wait. The tip of your what part is the tip of an ankle?
Like, you know, the little notch that pops out. Like the tip.
Oh, like the bony part?
Yeah.
It's the tip of the ankle.
Is it not?
Good to know.
What do you
it
call
it? It is now. Oh, your ankle bone.
So like some sort of good homeowner that I am, the grass grew a lot this past week and I felt the need to cut it again this Sunday, as in what's today, Monday? So yesterday. So I'm out there mowing and I'm like, I am not letting these suckers get me again. Made it all the way to the end. Sure enough, the suckers got me again. I have a literal swarm all around me. I'm swatting. I end up with 5 bites, 2 of which are on my tuchus. Really? And it's an absolute disaster. So I'm assuming that it flew up like the bottom of my shorts. That's when it stung me on the buttocks.
Want to get some,
right? It could have been a lot worse if we're talking about the general area.
The undercarriage. Sure.
But I suspect that I'm some sort of allergic because they have swollen up like nobody's business and itched like the dickens. So that's where I'm at.
Are you using the pink calamine lotion? What are you doing? How are you helping yourself?
So Whitney dealt
bathing in oatmeal.
Definitely not doing that. So Whitney dealt with a lot of poison ivy last year.
Yeah.
When we first moved in, so she's got a bunch of anti-itch stuff. I've been kind of using a medley of those things, but mostly just actually scratching it because I don't believe for a second that not scratching it is anything more than a testament to willpower. I don't have it. Screw it. I'm just scratching.
Just who cares about what health professional just. just rip your flesh open. It's fine.
But real talk. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You get some like scab
scar.
Who cares?
Huge scar. Yeah. This is where I ripped my skin open because I couldn't take my stings
anymore. I'm mid 30s and married. What more do I, who do I have to impress? Screw it.
Your skin isn't that great.
I'm just going in.
Yeah. It's fine.
So anyway, those are my adventures in Indiana. Also, the sidewalks in my neighborhood are an absolute train wreck because they're tearing apart every road in this area, and it's incredibly frustrating to run on. But that's neither here nor there. All right, let's go to Twitter questions.
Okay, here we go.
It's been a rough week.
Twitter questions. I asked for Twitter questions, and the people mostly responded. Here we go. Robert Baker. At Kerba 1123 asks, what's the dumbest argument somebody is going to use to keep Miggy out of the Hall of Fame on the first ballot?
He's had some off the field issues. I feel like that's the kind of thing that baseball writers.
You're talking about his failure with his Bit-Bits.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah. A deeply personal failure with the Bit-Bits.
Baseball writers are the most sanctimonious people on earth. They will find something. I assure you of that.
Yeah, I mean, joking aside, if you're talking about extramarital intrigue, shall we say, you're going to rule out a lot of baseball players, right? Kind of for not renowned for that. So maybe the small market thing. I mean, he won a World Series with the Marlins, but he didn't win one with the Tigers. I don't know. Those are all kind of lame reasons. The dude mashes.
Yeah.
You know, Don Kelly carried him for so many for so long. I don't know.
Practically like won the triple crown like for Kobe, him. Yeah.
Shaq Kobe situation.
Who's Shaq and who's Kobe though? That's the real question.
Hard to say, really. Nick Alampy_24. Does Hidden Harold make the squad next year?
I mean, it just
he's got the nickname now. It's in Baseball Reference. Hidden Harold.
I like it.
He does hit.
I mean, he's
not Slugging Harold. There's no alliteration there.
No. And also that would not be accurate. So
right.
We could do worse, but we could definitely do better. I'm gonna say yes. But hopefully no.
Harold's been around forever. He seems pretty steady. Yeah. I don't know, but he's also fairly unremarkable. I bet he makes the team.
Yeah. Him or a Nico, someone like that. Be like the one utility guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just have one. Everyone else more or less have where they play. Keep one utility guy like good teams do. Be good to go.
I think it's fascinating. You know, we got guys like Mazzara and Wilson Ramos and Renato Nunez. We're bringing all these guys in and they come, they go, never worry about them again. You know who's always around?
Hitting Harold.
Hitting Harold. He doesn't shift with the sands of time. He's anchored to that bench, Hitting Harold. Alan Abs, that was a little tongue twister, asks, the Tigers play 8 games away against National League teams over the next 3 weeks. I didn't know that. Thank you, Alan. How many total hits will Tigers pitchers get?
Oh, that's a good question.
Who was the Tigers relief pitcher who stood there and just looked lost? Ronnie? Was it Ronnie?
Ronnie was the one that tried to bunt.
Okay.
That.
But yeah, some of our guys look lost because they literally never do this.
Yeah.
I would say one hit.
Yeah.
One hit.
Vegas would for sure put the over under at a half. And I still think I'm taking the under.
You think no pitcher hits?
I think the amount of at-bats that the pitchers will get combined will be minimal.
Small, right.
But
yeah.
I'd love to see it. I want to see a pitcher go deep. I'm beginning to
repent of one. What's the last one who did it? It was Daniel Norris?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only one I can remember.
And of course it was him.
Has any other Tiger pitcher hit a home run in the modern era?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
I don't know that off the top of my head, though.
Okay. This one is kind of personal. He's asking about Hook Slide. I haven't heard from Hook Slide in a while. He was a Twitter, Tigers Twitter guy. I imagine he's taking a break.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Always been a big fan. Good guy. But no, yeah. I haven't heard from him in a while either.
I haven't heard nothing, but always in support. Evan underscore 1995-0 asks, I don't have a question today. That's a statement.
He has a statement. He does not have a question. Noted.
Well, thank you, Evan, for nothing. Michael Litzner asks, if the Tigers were in the playoff mix, do you think they call up Torque and Green for a final push?
It's an interesting question. I don't think so. I don't feel like putting guys that have no big league experience and one that was at high A earlier this year into a pressure situation like that's probably the right play. But who knows? Maybe talent wins out. Who knows?
Wow, Jordan, I agree. That was a brilliant response to that question. I thought you were very thorough and intelligent. The next question is from, actually my internet went out. I didn't hear any of it, but I assume it's brilliant. Swamp Poodlian, where are you people coming up with these names?
There's only so many names out there. After the main ones are gone, people got to get creative.
Yeah. He asks, you're making the audio equivalent of mountain oysters, perhaps? Maybe. A lot of bull and some balls. Okay. Pizza Slayer at JSlaw 0809 asks, do you think the Guns N' Roses crew set the stage up to be a little more sturdy for fear that Victor Reyes might run into it at some point?
That's clever.
Does Victor Reyes have a reputation now for running into things? I think that's a little unfair. It happened like once.
I think he's just a little on the clumsy side. He has.
He's a professional athlete.
On the scale of professional athletes, he is definitely on the clumsy side of the spectrum. But okay. Hopefully, yes.
Mitch at Mitch from Michigan asks, what is the worst day, January 2nd or the first day back from Christmas break, the Tuesday after Labor Day, or the first day back at work from vacation?
I'm going to go with the vacation.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I feel like all those other, like the Tuesday after Labor Day, like it's a 3-day weekend. That's nice, but it's not like life-changing. Right. Christmas, it comes with so much. A lot of times it's nice to just kind of be done with the season.
You're holidayed out. Yeah.
Vacation, though. Although sometimes it's nice to be home from vacation. I don't know. It just depends, but
it's the third one.
Yeah.
Bilfer, the godfather, the OG of Tigers bloggers. Thank you for asking us a question, Bilfer. I read him a long time ago. I love Bill Ferris. He asks, did Cabrera get his 500th because he went with the high socks yesterday? I did not even notice that. What do you think?
I feel like he's done that at points during his career, hasn't he? Like it's not that far out of the realm of possibility or norm for him. But yeah, maybe. You know, on occasion, you got to switch things up.
For sure. I was listening to Zach Short on the Compound podcast with some of his old Cubs cronies. And the amount of time that they spent thinking about socks up, socks down was remarkable. I think the players take it fairly seriously.
It's good to know.
Wait,
before we move on, are you a socks up kind of guy?
If I would, yeah, I would. I think I would. I think it would be a little cooler. Maybe.
Yeah, you wouldn't have two layers to get the breeze through, just the one.
Yeah. I like the look of it, too. Yeah. I think it's neat.
I was always socks down.
Of course you would be. Fun. Such an old man. Dropkick at PNW underscore tenant asks, of all the young Tigers sporting a stash these days, who should go all in and rock the Goose Gossage look? So Goose Gossage, I mean, I looked at a picture of him, is essentially kind of a Fu Manchu, right?
Yeah. I mean, Jake was kind of the original. So I feel like I lend more towards the guy that kind of started it. but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake, it's kind of grown on me. First I saw it and I'm like, what a goofball. But I'm kind of into it now.
Yeah, I like it in that he is a goofball. Unique. I mean, it's not a good look by any stretch of the imagination, but it works for him.
Jeff Morford at High OPS asks, there were a lot of recent promotions to Toledo. Hope for 2023 or false hope for 2023? We covered this a little bit. I'm full of hope.
Yeah, I don't even care if it ends up being false hope. It's nice to have just hope at all. I'm going to roll with it.
We have room for Verlander and somebody like Correa and maybe another bit player because we have the young, cheap guys coming up.
It's how contenders build it up.
That's how they do it. David Fleece asks, does Miggy get 3,000 this year or do we wait another 6 months? We gotta wait, I think.
Yeah.
Also, I did the math on this.
Oh, wow. Look at you go.
Yeah, we have 36 games left and he's gotta have 45 hits.
That's not
to get to to get to 3,000. So this year he's had 89 hits in 99 games. So under a hit a game. If he steps it up and gets a hit on average every game, he's still going to be shy. He would have to go on an absolute tear.
And that suggests that he's playing all the time.
And he's playing every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so. Anthony Troya, @_Troya asks, in honor of Miggy hitting 500, what food could either of you eat 500 times and not get sick of? For me, it's burgers or tacos. It's pretty basic there, Anthony, but you're not wrong, probably.
The thing about tacos is they're so incredibly versatile. Like, you can throw basically any ethnic food into a taco, but...
When does a taco become a shawarma? Yeah.
Yeah. Pizza, though, for me.
It's nachos.
Nachos. That's also a good choice. Do you ever do Dorito nachos?
I'm not super into Doritos. My brother loves Doritos. He gets the family size and he crushes them. They just taste like artificiality.
That's
to me.
That's the point. That is the
point. Just embrace the Americanness of the cheese powder. I gotcha. The other half of the Troya, or actually the other two of the three Troyas asks, always forget. Yeah. Do you think there won't be as big of a fanfare for Miggy's 3,000th hit, likely next April, May? So he's coming down on his opinion on this, provided there's no work stoppage because of the old adage that chicks dig the long ball. So he's postulating there'll be less clamor because chicks dig the long ball.
I suspect that there will be exactly the same amount of clamor because it is the Tigers driving the clamor and they will want as much clamor as possible.
Mileage as they can out of it, for sure. My girl, Jen Cozy asks, does Austin Jackson have a shot at the potential broadcast opening after Jack Morris's racist comment? Have you listened to Austin Jackson?
No, I didn't. I didn't know he did comms.
Not either. So he was with Dan Dickerson on the radio side of it. All accounts were he did a nice job. I feel bad. Don't tell Jennifer that I didn't actually hear Austin Jackson, but I'll have to look that up. But she's a big fan. I think it would be a good move.
Yeah, why not? I always liked Austin. I mean, he seemed like a pretty sharp dude. Like it'd be fun.
I think we all want Granderson though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's necessary. Like, I can't say I've seen him do a lot of broadcasting either, but it's just, you know, we all loved Curtis when he was here too. So I suspect
that
either
of them.
He'd
be better at the hosting thing.
Yes, definitely. But
he's got a little bit of that Michael Strahan kind of polish to how he goes about it, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You think Strahan is the greatest athlete turned broadcaster of all time?
Well, who else do you got? The Rondé Barber.
Yeah, I'm out there.
Chris Collinsworth.
He's decent. He at least has a high profile gig. But Strahan's almost gone mainstream now. Like he does some of the the morning
show. Who else kind of turned into a real host? Yeah. Because he did his Strahan's like Good Morning America or whatever, right?
Yeah,
like
he's straight like down
legitimate,
the middle.
Yeah. I mean, O.J. Simpson did, you know, broadcasting for a while, I think.
right up there.
Who was it? Jim Brown was an actor, and it's something a little different, but all right.
That was before my time. Shaq was an actor too.
Shazam. Was that the movie Shazam or something like that?
I think it was Kazam.
Oh,
I don't know.
Enough. All right, Shazam. That's it. Thank you for the questions and the one statement. Thank you, friends. That's Twitter questions.
I love watching you read the questions. Your face just gets so intent on what you're looking at.
I read at a third grade reading level. I got to focus.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan, here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me. I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter and Instagram, I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcast Yanos. We would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to the show on. And as always, the show is sponsored by Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. Moot's. Eric, anything to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
Don't waste so much time with your bread. I mean, just throw it in. It's not going to stay fresh. It's just factory bread. Just, you know, enjoy it while you can, and then just let the chips fall where they may.
I'm honestly surprised you're not telling people to just leave it open. I feel like that's very socially responsible of you.
I'm not that savage. I mean, there's a little civilization. Come on.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.